welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. Hope everybody's enjoying the NFL playoffs. I mean, it's been a pretty fun postseason so far, with the obvious exception being my Bills getting knocked out by the Chiefs again. They just can't get over that hump. And don't worry, I'm not going to spend much time talking about it today. It's old news, but I will say, I have a group chat with a bunch of friends. We're in a fantasy league together. It's mostly guys that I went to high school with, and a lot of Bills fans in that one. Normally, it's a ton of fun. There's a lot of jokes. It's become a pretty depressing place after Sunday's loss. So much so that one of my buddies actually renamed the group the Sadness Zone of Despair. So that gives you an idea of where Bills fans' heads are at right now. But we're moving forward here on today's show. We're opening up the mailbag. We're going to answer some of your questions as the offseason approaches. So we're just going to dive right in. At Drum Splint, how much, if at all, will Justin Herbert move up in your ranks with Jim Harbaugh as the head coach? Thanks as always, Boone. So here's the thing. I love the Harbaugh signing. I mean, from the standpoint of the Chargers organization and them needing a culture change, and Harbaugh's been a proven winner everywhere he's gone. And let's face it, the Chargers, they've been a team that's just kind of found a way to lose just heartbreaker after heartbreaker after heartbreaker over the years. So I believe that Harbaugh is going to come in. He's going to change the direction. He's going to change the fortunes of that team. And his addition, it's a good thing for Herbert in real life. Harbaugh, he was an NFL quarterback himself. He knows the position well. He's helped his quarterbacks win games. However, when you look at the pass volume on those Harbaugh-led teams in the past, they were near the bottom of the league in pass attempts when he was an NFL coach with the 49ers, and it wasn't much different at Michigan. So we'll see who they bring in as an offensive coordinator. That's going to have some impact here on Herbert's outlook for sure, but I'd expect we'll have more wins. We'll have steady play from Herbert, but if anything, his fantasy production, it's going to stay the same or it's going to drop a little bit. It's not going to go up, and that's because I feel like I was already maybe a little lower on him than most people just because of the uncertainty around the coaching change and not knowing who is going to come in there and the potential changes to the receiving core this offseason. And I talked about that on the rankings takeaway shows last week. The cap crunch, it's coming here a little bit for the Chargers, could lead to Mike Williams leaving. I'd assume that they'll find a way to keep Keenan Allen, but he's going to be 32 years old. Quentin Johnston, last year's first round pick, tough rookie season for him, giving off some signs that he might be a bust. And I mean, they could draft a receiver early and that could make us a little more excited here. But right now, I'm anticipating that Herbert's going to be a more efficient quarterback, but a guy who's going to have a lot less volume. And the Chargers were third in the NFL in pass attempts last year. So that's a tough bar to get back to. Hard to see them coming anywhere close to that with Harbaugh in town. But in real life, getting Harbaugh is amazing for this team. Just might not be the best for Herbert's fantasy stock, though. And Drum Splint, you gave that first question. I know you had another quarterback question from like a week ago. I forgot to answer this one, so I'm going to do it here now. You asked, how are we feeling about Jalen Hurts next season with the recent performances and with Jason Kelce retiring potentially? Is Hurts dropping down a few or a lot of slots? Love the content as always, sir. Now, for this one, I'm actually not dropping Hurts. Yes, he had some down games over the final month or so, and it didn't necessarily look pretty when he was out there, but his fantasy numbers, they weren't that bad most weeks. You know, on the year, finishes the quarterback 2 overall. He averaged 21.8 fantasy points per game. After the Eagles bye, so we look at him down the stretch from week 11 to week 17. I'm not going to count week 18 where he left early. So from week 11 to week 17, he was the QB3. He averaged 22.4 fantasy points per game. And during that stretch, he only had one game where he finished outside of the top 10 QBs. So yeah, week 18, it was rough. He left early. The wild card game, yeah, that one was bad too. But I'm not overreacting to those two performances when I think he was playing through injuries this year. I don't know exactly how much that was impacting him, but I think it was a factor. And this offense is going to remain mostly intact in 2024. Kelce likely retiring, and yeah, that's not great, but it's also not a done deal. There's a chance that he could come back, and they're going to have all offseason to make adjustments and to add to that offensive line if they need to. So Hurts still going to remain a top three fantasy quarterback for me, both in redraft and in dynasty, and I'll gladly take a discount if anybody's letting him drop a bit in this year's drafts. I'll be the guy that's scooping him up. At Grilled DuPoncho 85, where would you have Tajay Spears if Derrick Henry leaves in free agency? Well, I thought that I was ranking Spears pretty aggressively. I had him as the RB20 in my early 2024 redraft rankings, had him as the RB15 in my dynasty ranks. But since then, I've realized that there's some people in the industry that are just going strong into the paint for Spears. Some people have him ranked as an RB1, and I love the guy. I've talked about that on the show before. You know, from the moment we saw him step on an NFL field last year, he looked like he belonged. He looked like he had that superstar potential. So I definitely agree that he has top 10, top 12 within his range of outcomes. But now I'm worried that his ADP is just going to be through the roof this year because it seems like everybody is in on him in a big way. So I could see moving him up to the high-end RB2 range in redraft, maybe RB13 to 15. I could make a case for him going up to like RB13 in Dynasty. Just remember the health concerns that he had coming out. He had the ACL issue, some arthritis and cartilage stuff that was reported too. Could be something that impacts his longevity. So take that into account for Dynasty. We'll also need to see who the Titans are going to bring in to replace Derrick Henry if the big man leaves. And their new coach, Brian Callahan, he suggested today that they're leaving the door open for Henry to potentially return, saying that Henry fits in any offense. But if Henry does leave, the Titans could still draft another back to pair with Spears. They could sign somebody. So that could cap his fantasy value a bit. So a lot of moving parts to this, but Spears definitely has the talent to be a real difference maker, to be a true fantasy star. It's just risky to go over the top and rank him as an RB1 already. Okay, at a Rams house, got a few questions here, sent several tweets. Sadly, I can't answer them all today, but we'll go over two of them. So the first is, why so low on David Montgomery? Do you look beyond a two-year window for dynasty running backs? Hearing that part of your process would be great. And the answer to this is age and the presence of Jahmyr Gibbs. Montgomery is going to be 27 in June. That's on the older side for running backs, and he remains in this timeshare with Gibbs, and Gibbs is only going to get better. He's only going to take on more work as we go. So while I still think Montgomery is valuable for fantasy, and he's going to have some big games, especially when he finds the end zone, he's still the second best back in his backfield, and the other guy is an explosive young star. So hard to be overly excited about Montgomery. Of course, if a Gibbs injury were to happen, then yes, Montgomery could go through the roof that way, but he's a good value piece right now, assuming that Gibbs stays healthy and assuming that you don't need him to carry your team, then yes, I like where you can get him in drafts, and maybe he should be a few spots higher, but just because that ceiling would require an injury to Gibbs, that's why I can't really rank him much higher than where I have him now. And then the second question that you had here, can you talk about Anthony Richardson? Feels like he has way more upside than Justin Herbert, maybe even Joe Burrow or CJ Stroud in the long run. I mean, Richardson is incredible, and I went over this on the show early in the season, you know, even before that injury, but especially after he got hurt, that we were probably robbed from seeing a truly great fantasy rookie campaign from him. It would have been so cool to see him and Stroud lighten it up along the way, both the young guys doing it. And Richardson, I mentioned this last week, you know, in those first three starts, he was the QB4 overall in fantasy points per game. He averaged 23.1 points per contest, and he did that in 2.5 games since he left early in week two with the concussion. So Richardson has incredible upside. He's attached to Shane Steichen as well, which is definitely a good thing, but it's such a small sample size to go on. So with the Harbaugh news, I might move Richardson over Herbert in the February Dynasty update. And, you know, if we see Richardson start the season strong, then yes, he'd be pushing Burrow for that spot in the rankings, especially if T. Higgins leaves Cincy. That's another one that's up in the air going into the offseason. And then the battle with Stroud, that one could get closer over time, but we're going to need to see more from Richardson first because Stroud, he's just been amazing so far. At Brad NR, your early ranks have DJ Moore pretty low compared to his season finish, especially compared to his fantasy points per game with a healthy Justin Fields. Is that because you think Caleb Williams is going to replace Fields? Where would you rank DJ Moore with a healthy Fields? Well, let me say the obvious thing first, which is that last year's finish, that doesn't automatically equate to next season's outlook. It's a data point. It's a good data point, but it's only a data point that we're going to factor into the multitude of data points that go into these decisions. And I ranked him as the wide receiver 14. So it's not like I had him that low, right? He's a high-end wide receiver 2. He's a borderline wide receiver 1 in that range. But when you have a situation like the Bears where we don't know who the quarterback's going to be, seems like it's probably going to be Williams, but we don't know for sure yet. And a new QB, that changes the projections. Even if we expect Williams to be a better pro than Fields in the long run, that chemistry between Fields and Moore that they had, it can't be denied. Plus, you have a team with a bunch of draft picks, a ton of cap space, so they could bring in some help at receiver. I think that's probably likely. That means you're going to get an upgrade on Darnell Mooney, who was their wide receiver 2 last year, and he's a free agent himself going into this offseason, which could mean increased target competition for Moore. So I don't think wide receiver 14 is low, in part because of all the unknowns in that Bears offense heading into the offseason, and I wouldn't change that ranking. That is where I have him right now. Even if we knew that Fields was going to be there, I wouldn't put him up into the top 5 or the top 10 just based on the fact that he performed that way with a healthy Fields last year. I think you have to factor all of it in, including some of the other receivers out there, guys that were potentially injured this year and that they could potentially vault over more next season if they stay healthy. So there's a lot of things to factor in, and we have all offseason to go over that stuff. But that is all for today's show. So we referenced everything throughout, but make sure you check out the 2024 rookie rankings, which went up this week. Those are the rankings and the dynasty trade values for the incoming prospects, and I'll keep working on those and I'll keep going deeper on that stuff over the next couple months. I also have the full dynasty trade value charts, which went up a couple weeks ago. Those are going to be updated again before the Super Bowl, and same goes for the early edition of the 2024 redraft rankings. We'll have the February editions of those out next week. And really, you should be checking out everything we have going on over at The Score. Not just my fantasy football content, but the work we're doing across all sports, hockey, basketball, those are going strong right now. And on that note, you should give our NBA podcast a chance. I haven't mentioned it in a while, but it's called Pound the Rock with Joseph Cachero, Joe Wolf on, two of my friends at The Score. They're breaking down all the biggest NBA news over there, so give that one a listen. I'll be back next week. We'll do another episode then. I'll have a guest on for that one. But until then, big thanks for all the questions today. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight.